Blog Talk Radio.
I think it's important to mention that there have been nearly 400 treaties written by the United States in good faith with the Indians, and every single one of them was abrogated. It means broken or changed or altered.
Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahuwah's Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. Special edition called Thursday Evening. I'll be your host by name, your seer, Israel, of Seed Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mysteries, Deep Dark Sayings of the Bible, tape number 48. And we got a memo sent our elder. We'll be a little bit late. He'll give you all the details on the broadcast. And in the meantime, we're going to see who's on stage, and we'll get something going on. Got a lot of memos. But one thing about it, I don't know why you're trying to convince the six anointed camps about a certain man named Joseph Smith and the Roman Catholic Church, because what we'll do, we will investigate whatever you say, and then we'll make sure the scripture provides for it. Got it? Good. So you can continue leaving the memos, and we'll listen to it, but we're only going to respond on the airwaves. Got it? Good. All right, let's see if we'll be on a nice stage for the nice cake number 48, and we do see our elder, the lead teacher out of Camp 1. He said, look here, I'm going to holler on that microphone a little while tonight. So our elder, Elder Yada Israel C. Royal, the lead teacher out of Camp 1, he said, hey, look, I want to holler on that microphone tonight. So when you meet the elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Yada Israel, tribe of Yada, tribe of Judah, Yada, lead teacher out of Camp 1. preaching at Seed Royal.
Yeah, God bless you, see Israel, a Seed Royal. Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah, Royal. Hallelujah, Royal. That's what it's all about. Hey, like what that say, that I'm saying is turning back the hands of time, Tyrone Davis, in so many ways. Great. All right. And who else going to be on stage? Our mother. One of the mothers out of Camp One. Mother Easton. Listen, let me tell you something, Sarah. I'm in this thing for one reason. To get my salvation. So wherever I got to put on the table, I'm ready to go and to roll with it and to deal with it. But right now, if some reason I can't bring you up there, Mother, and you know, can you bring Mother up? Because right now, I'm getting a mute sign on my end. So can you pull Mother in for the nice episode 48? Because I'm getting a mute sign. So I don't know why I'm getting a mute sign, but so if you can pull Mother up or put some audio on that microphone, because I'm getting a mute sign. What's up, WCC? Why is I'm getting a mute sign on bringing the Mother in? What's that? I'm getting a mute. Okay, now. Okay. Thank you, WCC. All right. All right, Mother E. WCC said you all right. So, Mother E, lead one of the most out of Camp One. Yahweh bless you, see you, right?
Yahweh bless you, see Israel. I see you, Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, there, Mother. Well, one thing about it, Mother, you know you held your own in grand style last night, and that's a great thing. But we got so many memos. As a matter of fact, I need to play a little bit to probably, before I give you some Luke 12:12 from our elder, I need to play just a little bit because it's just so much information, and I don't know why they trying to convince us that it's a change of venue. I don't know. We'll find out. But we all here together for a minute. And then we'll get our elder in and we'll get something going on.
Justice Stacey Murdoch added this witness. I bear testimony to what I have written as an eyewitness. Under the law of heaven declared by the Lord himself, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. What then of Joseph Smith the prophet? Today, millions declare a burning witness that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God, that he saw God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, that he received the holy priesthood of God and the ordinances of salvation, that the Book of Mormon he translated is the Word of God, and that the church he helped establish is Christ's New Testament church restored. If those witnesses share what they know and expect others to listen and respect what they say, what of the thousands who knew Joseph Smith personally and saw with their own eyes the power and prophetic mantle of God upon him? Those eyewitness testimonies cannot be ignored nor slighted any more than the witness of Peter or Paul. Our history is filled with those who saw, heard, knew for themselves that Joseph Smith was a man of God. What follows are testimonies from those who knew Brother Joseph personally.
Mm-hmm. So we will get on that, Paul, but it, you know, one thing about it, we got, you know, you got to take a little bit of time. It's so much there, but we got enough to bear witness on what we don't heard. So we got to investigate it. That's all we can say. I mean, you very convincing, but we got to investigate and see can that hold up. So, hey, Elder, look where at that Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Let's see what's going on so we can see can we investigate that according to the righteous spirit. Luke Chapter 12, verse 12. How early are you on the clock? Come on.
Book of Luke, chapter 12. Verse number 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Heck. In that very same hour, the righteous spirit will teach you what you ought to say. And that's what we're trying to say to you, Sister B.S. Judah Israel. See, the righteous spirit dictates the lesson. And that's why, you know, put a label on the message, we don't know. But it always going to be unlocking the biblical mystery, because the series is unlocking biblical mysteries, deep, dark sands of the Bible. So, you have anything you want on your mind, but remember one thing. When you put Luke 12:12 on the table, what you saying? You saying, Almighty, you direct the lesson. Regardless how much studying we have done prior to it, you direct the lesson. That's why if you hear any ministry anywhere in the country, put Luke 12:12, which you'll never hear, because what you're saying, I want the Almighty to lead my path in this lesson. So you're not going to never hear it until you hear it from Boss Silver to his wife. Now, take note of that. We know you're a great note taker. All right, so we got some Luke 12:12 on the table. And, hey, Elder, so when we look at the book of Numbers, chapter 15:15-16 and 29, it makes a profound statement on something. And let's see what it say. Numbers chapter 15:15-16 and 29. What it say, I Elder? You on the clock, come on.
Book of Numbers, chapter 15. Verse number 15:16 and verse number 29 reads. The book of Numbers, chapter 15. Verse number 15 reads. One ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation, and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you. An ordinance forever in your generation, as you are, so shall the stranger be before Yahweh. Verse 16. One law, one Torah instruction, and one manner shall be for you, and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. Verse 29. You have one Torah instruction, one law, for him that sinneth through ignorance, or for him that is born among the family of Israel, for the stranger that sojourneth among them.
So, the order was given to Moses is not but one way. It ain't but one way that was given to Moses. And when we read Exodus chapter 12, Elder, when we look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 49, can you help those see out in Exodus chapter 12, verse 49? We'll get a precept on that. See, the key to it is the precepts. So when you go to Exodus 12, 49, what's that say, Elder? You on the clock, come on.
Book of Exodus 12, verse number 49 reads, "One Torah instruction, one law, shall be to him that is homeborn, not to the stranger that sojourneth among you."
You see, so he's telling you the rules and regulations one way. The stranger must follow you. You cannot follow the stranger. So Mother E, when we look at 2 Chronicles 6:32, can you help those see out what it says about the stranger in this case? We're looking at 2 Chronicles 6:32, and we want to find out, well, who is this stranger that we can read? 2 Chronicles 6:32. Hey, Mother, can you help those say out on that? And Elder, I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to pick up at verse number 2, and we're going to read a little bit after Mother tell us about this stranger that we can read. He said, you can't follow the stranger. The stranger got to follow you. Now, they could identify the stranger that we talk about in this case with Mother Eve in 632 of Second Chronicles. Who the stranger is, Mother, that we can read? Come on.
Second Chronicles chapter 6, verse 32. Moreover, concerning the stranger, which is not of your people, Israel, but is come from a foreign country, for thy great namesake, and thy mighty hand, and thy stretched out arm, if they come and pay pray in this house.
So the stranger's got rules and regulations, Mother, and according to 632, who is the stranger according to 632, Mother? Look at it real carefully and tell the national audience who is the stranger is. They have to follow your lead that we can read in 632. Who the stranger is, Mother? Come on.
Okay. It says, not of the stranger is not of the people of Israel.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. That's the number one answer, Mother, right there. The stranger is not of your people, Israel. So the stranger will get what's called what we give to them, but the Almighty is saying plainly, the only way the stranger can have a part of this, they got to love the name and come and sit down at your feet, the stranger. Now, I know and the world know that Joseph Smith, he's not an Israelite. So he has to be a stranger. And one thing Yahweh ain't going to break is his word. So if Joseph Smith would gonna receive anything, he must receive it from the children of Israel, according to that verse. Keep that in your mind. We leave that right there, and we go and look for, and then he tell you plainly, it's a penalty. If you know you Israel, and if you following the stranger, then that's not the will of your mighty one. Got it? Good. Now, with that understanding, we go on to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the elder is going to pick up at verse 2, and we're going to read a little bit and pay attention now, because remember, if you're the stranger and you're not of Israel, that means any message you will get, it must come from Israel, unless you're Israel. Now, if you're Israel, then we have to look at it another way. But if you're not Israel, the only way another nation will receive any word from the Almighty, it must come through Israel, according to what we just got through reading. So with that in mind, we go on to Corinthians chapter 12, and give me one verse to get warmed up there, Elder. Give me verse 2, 12, 2, just to get warmed up, that we're going to do a little precepting before we go any further. 12, verse 2 says what? Let's read the way you see it, Elder.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 2 reads, know that you are Gentile, carried away to these dumb idols, even as you were led.
He says, you were Gentiles. He said, you were Gentiles. That means one thing, if you were Gentiles, now that's a big verse of them. He said, you know that you was Gentiles, carrying away with them dumb idols. You was Gentiles. But wait a minute. Hey, help me out, Elder, in the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, when it talks about in a leopard changes. Can you help those see out about that? Because if you were a Gentile, but we hear that Jeremiah here, he wrote a profound verse, can a leopard change his spot? Hey, help the old say out there, Elder. What verse is that we can pull out on that verse right there, Elder?
Book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, verse number 23 reads, Jeremiah 13, verse 23, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots?
So, you see, the question is bloodline. You cannot change your bloodline. Whatever, and whatever your daddy is, that's what you is. So a leopard cannot change his spots. You go back and dig up a leopard 5,000 years ago, he gonna have his spots. You go over to the Brookfield Zoo, the leopard still gonna have some spots. So they can't change their spots. And the word Ethiopian don't really mean a race. It's talking about a skin color. Ethiopian means burnt-faced people. So if you are Ethiopian, you got burnt face 5,000 years ago, you got even today, you got the same burnt faces. You see, that's what the word Ethiopian means. It don't specifically mean Cush, because the Bible has a mother. Have you ever see out? The Bible has a 4328 of Sirach. What do the Bible have that we can read? And 43:28. Sirach 43, verse 28, mother. According to the Bible, according to fear, when we read 43:28, let's talk about it, mother. You on the clock, come on.
Book of Sirach, chapter 43, verse 28. Sirach chapter 43. Verse 28. How shall we be able to magnify him? For he is great above all his works.
Well, hold on. Back up to, help me out there, Elder. We're kind of struggling, right? We're struggling out the gate. Make that 42. Let me see if I find me a book in Pete. 42.
Oh.
All right, Elder.
42:24.
Try that. 42:24. How that sound? 42:24. Okay. Yes, ma'am. 42. Try that. I don't have a book, but the Elder said that's close enough. 42:24.
I'm saying Sirach chapter 42, verse 24. All things are double, one against another, and he has made nothing imperfect.
So when you read the Bible, understanding one thing, the Bible has a double meaning to it. Sometimes it might say this in one place, but it might mean totally opposite in another place. He will give you that spirit once you understand this Bible is not. Sometimes you can be reading this Bible and say, man, I've been reading this Bible. I ain't never seen that before. You know why? Because, you know, it don't work like that. You got to be guided. A man got to guide you, but it got to be a Yahwali man guide you on the same scripture. Now, Mother, back up to Issachar's boy in 11, verse 6, and see where Sirach, the seer, pulled that from. By backing up to 11, verse 6, of Job. Let's see where he pulled that from, Mother.
Okay.
11, verse 6.
Okay.
The book of Job, 11, verse 6. Where he pulled that from, Mother?
The book of Job, chapter 11, verse 6. Verse 6 reads, and that's the and that he would show thee the secret of wisdom, that they are double to that which is known. Therefore, that Yahweh exact thee, less than
thine. That's good, Mother. You got the number one answer. The secret of wisdom, understand the Bible, has a double meaning. So if they were Gentiles, if they was Gentiles carrying away with them idols, then the only way they could have been Gentiles is in the mind. Because if you bloodline Gentile of a nation, you still the same thing. So when you read that book of Corinthians chapter 12, he said you was Gentiles. That means the only way you become a Gentile is because you have broke away from up under the banner of Yahuwah. So that make anybody a Gentile. But once the light turn on and you understand that Yahuwah program, then you no longer Gentile, whether you any of the 12 tribes of Israel. So enlightenment came somewhere here on these Corinthians. But here's the greatest mystery about these Corinthians that's called Gentiles. They are, in the 10th chapter, they held them. These Gentiles that the camps got to, you know, get on board with it, because it's going to stand the Gentiles in Corinthians 12 that he's talking to. We go on to 1 Corinthians 10 and listen what Paul says about these Gentiles and 10, 1 and 2. What he says, you can read ever. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 and 2.
Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse number 1, verse number 2 reads. Book of 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse 2, we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
So you see what Paul said? I don't want you Gentiles to be ignorant of this mystery. So he's talking about our fathers. See, our fathers, he talking bloodline to these Gentiles. Look what he said to these Gentiles in verse 3 and 4. These Gentiles is Paul's bloodline. Watch what he said in verse 3 and 4.
Verse number 3. The book of 1 Corinthians 10. Verse number 3. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 3 reads, did all eat the same spiritual meat? Verse 4. Did all drink the same spiritual drink? Well, they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Yahuwah the Son.
You see that? And that rock was Yahuwah the Son. Now, Paul says that that rock was Yahuwah the Son. Now, you got, now keep that in your mind. Now, that rock was Yahuwah the Son. Now, we're going to read what we see today, Elder. See, we're going to stop and take care of a little something on the way of taking care of something. Because you'll never understand this book unless you learn how to precept. He said that rock that followed them was Yahuwah the Son. Okay, good. Now, we're going to hold that point right there, and we're going to run to Matthew's. Put your mark on that, mother. Coming back there in a minute. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And we're going to read a little bit. Listen to the conversation. Remember what he said. Paul said that rock that followed the children of Israel, the peoples of the book, was Yahuwah the Son. He says that rock. Keep that in your mind. Got it? Good. Now, we're going to back up to Matthew chapter 16, pick up verse 13. What does it say, I held? Let's read a little bit.
The book of Matthew chapter 16, verse number 13 reads, and when Yahuwah the Son came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, followers, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse number 4. They say some say that thou art John, called the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the seers. Verse number 15, he said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Yahweh, the son of the living Yahweh the Father. Verse 17, Yahweh the son answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon, Barjona, the flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse number 18, and I say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my congregation, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Now, you see that? You hear that, Sister B.S., Judah Israel, you hear that? Now, he said, on this rock, I'm going to build, the church is the congregation of the children of Israel. He said, but on this rock, what rock? Peter is not the rock. The word Peter in the Greek petro means the rock. That's all. But Peter's not the rock, because the rock is stable. Peter went through a whole lot of transformation. Matter of fact, in 1818, a mother, Eve, Peter went through so much transformation in Matthew 18:18. Remember one thing about a rock. A rock is the same today. You go look at a big old rock, that rock gonna be the same forever. The rock don't make no adjustment. A rock don't. See? So now when you look at the 18th chapter, mother, if Peter the rock, then what do Matthew's chapter 18, verse 18 say?
Book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 18. Verily, truly, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven.
Well, that's kind of close, but back up to 17. Well, it's in the same line, but no, I'm missing my hit. Make that Matthew chapter 16:18. I'm missing my hit. Although I like that where he was on, mother, and I ain't gonna try to stretch that out. But I'm missing a good hit. Matter of fact, I better table that because it's not coming to me unless the elder come put me out on that one. It's kind of pointing toward, it's something when Peter said to the Almighty, he said something to him, and then he responded and said something back to Peter. Because remember one thing about a rock. I don't care, a rock is going to be the same unless you take a sledgehammer and bust it wide open. That rock going to be the same way. So, and scripture-wise, ain't but one person that we say he's the same. Matter of fact, read that, Mother. Let's go to Hebrews 17, chapter 13. 13 verse 8. I'm struggling right now, mother, but I'm going to get up out of it with the help of our elder shortly. In Hebrews 13 verse 8,
okay.
I'm going to telegraph nothing, but to be a rock, you have to have the credentials of 13 verse 8 of Hebrews. What does it say, mother?
Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 8-3. Yahweh the Son, the same yesterday and today and forever.
Excellent. So to be the rock, you got to be the same today, yesterday, and forever. But Peter said something to Yaquaz, Elder, and I don't want to telegraph what he said. I want to act like I'm surprised that he said it, but then Yaquaz said something to him when he said it. Can you take it from there, Elder? Peter said something to Yaquaz. Then Yaquaz turned right around and you got it?
I give it a shot.
Give it a shot to Elder.
I'm looking at the book of Luke.
Go ahead.
The book of Luke, chapter 22, verse number 31. And Yahweh said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat.
That's great, Elder. But in the same token, I just go ahead and telegraph what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the verse where it says, when Yahweh explained what got to happen to him, then Peter say, no, Yahweh, it ain't going to happen. This ain't going to happen to you. And Yahweh said, get behind me something. He said, get behind me. And he didn't call him Simon. He called him by another name. And so that's what I was looking for, what he called him by another name. He said, get behind me. He didn't call him Simon. He didn't call him Peter. How about that,
Elder? Yes, yeah, I'm looking at it. Book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse number 23. Book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse number 23 reads, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of Yahweh, but those that be of men.
Is it? So Yahweh called Peter Satan. He said, get behind me, Satan, because you saying things is an offense to me. Because the prophecy was already written in the 49th chapter. See, one thing about it, when you're serving the Almighty Yahweh, you cannot be confounded what we read in Sirach 2, verse 10. See, Peter got up into his feelings. But the reason Yahweh came on the earth, because he had some business that he talked about doing for the Father in the 49th chapter, Elder Bob, the national audience say, see, the reason he came to the earth, he came to take care of some business that we can read by the seer in the 49th chapter. See, that's why he told Peter to get behind me, because he knew Peter supposed to be knowing the scriptures. And in the 49th chapter, verse number 5, down to verse number 7, 5-7. Listen to this, what he says. See, Peter was to be, he is the chief speaker of the nation of Israel. When the Son came to the earth, it was already foretold by the mouth of Isaiah through the angel, through the Son and the Father. So in the 49th chapter, when we look right down at verse number 5, down to verse 8, listen real good when I hear to come on down and walk this on, then we get back to the Corinthians. What it says we can read in 49, 5, down to verse 8, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verse number 5 through 8 reads, book of Isaiah 49, verse number 5, now say of Yahweh that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob, Israel, again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Yahweh, and my choir shall be my strength. Verse number 6, he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Israel, to restore the preserve of Israel. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation until the ends of the earth. Verse number 7, The same Yahweh, the Redeemer of Israel, and his righteous one, to him whom man despised, to him whom the nations abhor, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of Yahweh that is faithful, and the righteous one of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Verse number 8. Thus saith Yahweh, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, and call to inherit the desolate heritage.
You see that? So, what we find out, that it was a prophecy of the coming of the Son, and he was to be a light to the Gentiles, because after 700 B.C., around about 722, the northern 10 tribes went off into captivity. And when they went off into captivity, prior to that, they was worshiping something, Elder, and pull that verse out, because Osea is struggling big time in this lesson. So the reason they was become Gentiles, because they was no longer upon the Mighty One, the 10 northern tribes, because they worship and changed, you know, like our worship is today. See? So they start worshiping, bringing out here what they start worshiping that we can read all together in tape number 48. This is the reason they was called Gentiles, because they was worshiping something else that we can read that will make you a Gentile. So it got nothing to do with bloodline. You can become a Gentile if you're worshiping somebody else than the four-letter man. Bring it out, Elder. Come on.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 11, verse number 14 reads, for the Levites left their suburbs and their possessions and came to Yahdah, Judah, southern kingdom. But Jeroboam and his sons had cast them off from executing the priest's office unto Yahweh. Verse 15, he ordained him priest for the high places, and for the devil, and for the calves which he had made.
You see that? So the northern kingdom, called the 10 tribes of Israel, they walked away from the covenant of Yahweh. And they became Gentiles. So how are the bloodline 12 tribes of Israel Gentiles today? Because they make their decision without understanding the Bible got rules and regulations for the children of Israel. Now, if the stranger want to follow your way, but you have to lead by example, and that's what we read in Numbers 15:16. But when you do not take your position, and you follow the other nation, you become a Gentile. Now, Paul's mission was to go to the Gentiles because they have lost their way. And once they lost their way, according to the book of the seer, Hosea, see, once you have lost your way, regardless if you can find your $10, according to Hosea the seer, in the first verse, he's going to tell you what you become that we can read. This is what he says, he says in the book of Hosea chapter 1, and this is 785 B.C. This is about 50 years before the captivity, but the seers came speaking from the mouth of the Mighty One to go and tell the children of Israel what's going to befall them in the latter days. So when you read Hosea chapter 1, verse 4, 5, and look what he says in verse 9. Listen real good. Hosea chapter 1, 4, 5, and 9. Elder, you on the clock. Come on.
The book of Hosea chapter 1, verse number 4, verse number 5. and verse number 9 reads, Book of Hosea, chapter 1, verse number 4. Yahweh said unto him, Call his name Jezreel, but yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the family of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the family of Israel. Verse number 5. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Verse number 9. Then said Yahweh, Call his name Naomi, for you are not my people, and I will not be your Yahweh.
Yes. He said, the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes of Israel, since you worshiping the devil, you is not my people, although you are a bloodline Israelite. You become a Maccabees 1:11. Hey, Marie, you become a Maccabees 1:11. These are the books that the Protestant church called, really, is the protesters. Martin Luther protested. He said, Pope, you got too much power. He said, hey, look here. You got too much power. You got to share some of that power with me. So when his mind say a Protestant, that only means that Martin Luther protested because he said, this man got too much power. I want me a little bit of that power you got. That's all that means, protesting. And he broke away and started his own thing, you see? So he said, Pope, you got too much power. And the word poke only means father. And we read soundly, you don't call nobody of a religious no father, only your earthly father. But that's a prior lesson back in the couple of lessons back. If you miss a class, you miss a lot. So now, hey, Mother, what you getting ready to read? What you getting ready to read, Mother?
Is that First Maccabees 1:11?
Yes, ma'am.
First Maccabees chapter 1, verse 11. In those days went there out of Israel wicked men who persuaded many, saying, Let us go and make a covenant.
Go ahead. You go ahead, Mama. I got excited. Go ahead.
Make a covenant with the nations that are around about us. For since we departed from them, we have had much sorrow.
You see that? So now, who said that? Wicked Israelites. Wicked Israelites said that. Listen, since we can't find our $10, and another power have taken over, let's go in and see what they own, ignoring what was said in Numbers 15:15-16, as you are, so shall stranger be. See, wicked Israelites going to tell you that it's another book than this book. See, wicked Israelites going to come up with a book called the Mormon's book, the Abrahamic book, the Catholic book, the Talmud, all that to get you away from this book right here. Because this book, if you stay in it long enough, you'll start saying that everything is said either to Israelites or for Israelites or it's about the Israelites. Wait a minute. What? When I read this book, it's all about the children of the 12 tribes of Israel. But when I read the other books, it's all about everybody else. That's the game changer. And that's their plan. Keep you out of this book. But they'll use this book and build their foundation on it, like we did in a prior lesson showing you where Joseph Smith said that I'm going to heal your father in the name of the Israelites' mighty one. See that? But like I said, again, if you miss a class, you miss a lot. You'll be all over the place. That's why you got to stay up on this. Now, good. So we find out one thing. When you back away from Yahweh, then you are not you are what the elder read earlier. You become, in the mind, the servant of Satan the devil when you back away from what this Bible is saying. Because the Bible made it plain, a mother, what did the Bible make it plain in the book of Judges? Now, the angel came down from heaven in the second chapter. He was looking for his guy that was the lead man, was called Hoshea, one called Joshua, and Judges 2. He looked him eyeball to eyeball in 2, verse 1 and 2, and said something to him. Now, we're going to find out what did the angel say to the one that was leading the tribe that taken over from Moses. He looked this man, Hoshea, eyeball to eyeball, called Joshua today. And he said something to him. Listen to what he said to him in 1, 2, and 3. Take your time, mother. Make a little meal out of it, mother. 2, 1, 2, and 3. Make a meal out of it. Come on.
Okay. Let's do it.
Chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3.
The book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1. And the minister spirit of Yahweh came up from Gilgal to Boshen and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your father. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Verse 2. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altar, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Verse 3. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their yardwards shall be a snare unto you.
He said, it's going to be a snare unto you. He said, I told you that I got message from the Son and the Father to come tell the children of Israel, all 12 tribes. When you get over to the land that was deed to you called the land of Shem, which they call Canaan, Canaan's land become your land. Drive the ones that's in there out of it. You got nothing to do with color. Drive them out. Make no leaves with the inhabitants of the land. But you're going to get over there and you're going to make a league with the inhabitants of the land. Why did you do this? Now they're going to be a snare unto you until you break that chain. And today, the world is a snare unto you until you break that chain. You got to come back to what this Bible's saying right here, what this Bible's saying. Then you better see through everything that's going on soon as they bring it. Then you know that it's no way possible by Joseph Smith being a stranger, the Almighty came and said anything to him by starting something, a new thing. Because he says, if he penalized them then, he's going to penalize you now. So when the Catholic Church tell you about Peter, and we are the successor of Peter, then you know that's not right neither. Because Peter could not make no leagues with the inhabitants of the land. Peter could not go and be the first pope of Rome because you're breaking the covenant that was given to the children of Israel. That's once you understand and have your foundation of knowing who you are. Got it? Good. Now, so now that's how you become the devil. And he got another word for you, mother. Another word. You become a devil. And he got another word for you. He told Jeremiah to write in 13:8-10. See, the Almighty Son can signify. He said, not only when you not doing the covenant, you become a devil. But he got another name for you in Jeremiah 13:8-10. Bring it out, mother, and we'll get on back to that 1 Corinthians chapter. We'll set the foundation. But when you disobedient to the covenant of the Bible, not only you become a devil when you walk away from Yahweh, spiritually in the mind, because you follow other nations. he told Jeremiah in 1:4-5, raise me the womb to write this concerning you. 13:8 down to verse 10. So we can read that, Mo. Take your time and bring it out. Come.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. Verse 8. Then the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, verse 9. Thus said the Yahweh, after this manner will I mire the pride of Judah and the great pride of Judah. Verse 10. This evil people, which refused to hear my words, which walked in the imagination of their mind, and walked after other Yahwahs to serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this garment, which is good for nothing.
Hmm. Hey, mother, what did he call the children of Judah? And remember, what was up on Judah was Levite and Benjamin. All of them was together, three tribes. But he looked at, but they all had to be up under Judah. He looked at Judah was the lead tribe. What did he call mother? Or what kind of people?
Evil people.
A what?
Evil people.
Yeah. What makes evil people a mother? What makes them an evil people? According to what you just got through reading, 13:8-10, what would make you an evil people? According to what you just got through reading. Then you have to say out for the national audience. What makes you an evil people? Huh?
Yeah. And this young said, and walked after other false outlaws to serve them and to worship them, and shall even be as this girl, which is good for nothing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's excellent. You're good for nothing when you do it, but what makes you an evil people according to verse 10? I mean, you're good for nothing. When you're evil people, you're good for nothing. But what would make you an evil people according to verse 10?
Okay. They refuse to hear the word.
What makes you an evil people is this evil people in the 10th. In the 10th verse, which refused to hear my words. That would make you an evil people. You refuse to hear my words. You rather hear the words that come out of the Catholic Church. You rather hear the words that come out of a book called the Mormon's book. You rather hear the words that are coming out of Christianity. You refuse to hear his words. So that make you an evil people, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, and the other 9, 10 tribes of Israel. They worshiping devils even to this day. 95% of the northern kingdom of Israel right now is upon a Catholicism called the Roman Catholic Church. 95% of them to this day. So you see why he called them a devil? And he called you a evil people. But all of a sudden, now we're going back to 1 Corinthians. And that's why he called them Gentiles. Because they have walked away from the truth. And that makes you a Gentile. Because you're not up under the pole anymore. And you become an evil people. Uh-huh. Now you're ready for yourself. Now, with that understanding, when we go back to Corinthians, we find out he's talking to the northern kingdom that's over there in Corinth. And they call Corinthians, and just like today, we call African Americans Negro and Color and Supercoon, right? So they got the name called Corinthians. Same thing. So Paul was sent to them according to Romans chapter 1, verse 5. Through 8, he was sent to get the working on him because that was his job, according to, matter of fact, let's bring it out for take number 48 there, Elder. In the book of Acts, Paul had a mission to do. And it was already prophesied the mission that he had to do And Ananias tried to not deal with this guy, but when you got a calling on you, you got to deal. So in the 9th chapter of Acts, Elder, we're going to look right down at what's going on. And Ananias made a profound statement, but Yahweh told Ananias, listen, Ananias, are you the man of the hour right now? He said, yeah. Well, then you do what I tell you to do, Ananias. And what happened that we can read in the 13th chapter when Ananias tried to put up a little fuss? Verse 9:13. Let's read a little bit there, Elder. Come on.
Book of Acts, chapter 9, verse number 13 reads, then Ananias answered, Yahweh, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he have done to your saints in Yahweh Judah, southern kingdom. Verse 14. Here ye have authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on your name. Verse 15. Yahweh said unto him, go your way. We are the chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, king, and the family of Israel.
Mm-hmm. And what about the next verse? And you think it's going to be a cakewalk? And once you learn this, it ain't going to be no cakewalk with you. If you learn this right here, this is what you're going to deal with in the next verse. So be prepared for it. And you might wonder, man, when I go take this to my brother, my auntie, man, they don't take this lightly. But look what Yahweh said in the next verse.
Verse number 16, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
You're going to suffer when you start telling them that, no, them Lord God and Jesus and Allah and Buddha, them ain't never titles for the true name YHWH. What? Where you get that from? So now your trouble goes far. See? You're going to suffer. I mean, you're going to find out some of your closest loved ones going to be looking at you out of the corner of the eye, and they're going to try to start getting out your way. So we turn you up front. All the packs on the back that you once had, it's going to decease from you. So when you come and sit down with Ed at the lunch table, they're going to say, I think I hear somebody calling me. They're going to get up because they're going to look at you that you ain't the same no more. And all the skin and gritting you once had with them, they're going to no longer be there to receive what you bring them because they don't like that. So keep that in your mind when you start talking some YHWH instead of Lord God and Jesus. When you start talking about keep the Sabbath day, Friday night to Saturday night until the Sunday, 9 o'clock in the morning, you're not going to get many phone calls from them anymore. And it might hurt your feelings, but the comfort is in the word. Now, case in point, let's get a precept on that. Hey, Elder, let's run to Acts chapter 17. We'll get a memory to where Paul going to go through some things, right? We're going to Acts chapter 17, and we'll pick up verse 16. Now, watch this. Now, here's Paul just going on about his business. In Acts chapter 17, verse 16, and let's see what he's coming face to face with that we can read in Acts 17, verse 16. What happened, Elder, and what was going on? Let's read a little bit. Come on.
The book of Acts chapter 17, verse number 16 reads, and while Paul waited for them at Athens, the spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Verse 17, therefore disputed he in the temple with Yahweh Judah, with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Verse number 18, there certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what would this babbler say? Others, some he seemed to be a set of folk of strange Yahweh, because he taught unto them Yahweh the Son and the resurrection. Verse number 19.
Hold that point. You hear that? So you see, so Paul was, he was there, and you might be at one of your get-togethers of the family, and all of a sudden they're gonna be talking about some Lord God. Ain't that Lord God Jesus good? And all that, and eating hog too, and eating hog, and he told you plainly about this hog. You might, well, you know, we meet up on January the 1st, and we eat a big old hog with some cranberry sauce on top of it, and some pineapple. But then you might say, well, I know I once did this, but can we look at a verse that's written, Elder, in the 11th chapter on what the Almighty said to the children of Israel? 11:1-2, and then we'll skip down to 7-12, and then we'll skip down to 43 to the... Understand one thing. Everything we tell you, you gonna run into it. You know, like traditions we already had all our life. But all of a sudden now the light been turned on, and now you gonna say, look, my niece, what do Leviticus says out of the first five books, 11:1-12? Watch the old elder gonna bring it out. Look what he said. What is that elder we can read?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse number 1 and 2, verse number 7 to 12 reads, Leviticus chapter 11, verse number 1, Yahuwah spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, verse number 2, speak unto the family of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which you shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Verse number 7. And the swine, who divided the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Verse 8. Of their flesh shall you not eat, and their carcass shall you not touch. They are unclean to you. Verse number 9. These shall you eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever have fins and scales in the waters, in the sea, and in the river, them shall you eat. Verse 10. And all that have not fins and scales in the sea and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of any living thing which is in the waters, it shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination unto you. You shall not eat of their flesh, but you shall have their carcass in abomination. Verse 12.
Now, once your parents and your cousin, your brother, and say, well, we was raised up on Eden Hall, and we've been a Catholic member for so many years, and we know every year we go get a whole hog and put him on the table, and he cover the whole table up. But once your life turned on, you found your mighty one told you the children of Israel, don't you eat that. And you can't follow the stranger once you know who you are. Do you know you violating the scripture? See? So, then when you skip down to verse 43, down to the close, listen to what he's saying. I get it. He said, now even when it comes down to lobsters or crabs and all that stuff in the water, if whatever you take out the water and you eat, it must have fins and scales on it. If it don't have fins and scales on it, it's abomination. So your catfish, your red lobsters, and your frog legs, you don't eat that anymore. See? Well, my, we've been taking Mom out and Uncle Buck to Red Lobster for the last 30 years. Yes. But now you find out, Bible say, you know, you, what Bible is that? Oh, the King James Bible, the Bible that the other Bibles came from, you know, they take out first from the King James Bible. Well, we don't read the King James Bible no more. We read the New Living Bible. See? So all this you want to come face to face with, listen what the old seer tells you. And when you see it, you say, oh, I was expecting that. That's because we're not reading the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. I mean, First Kings. He said, come on in, daughter of Jeroboam, because I was expecting you to come. I was warned that you was coming. See? So what we're trying to tell you, once you understand what this Bible's saying, and you start applying this Bible to your friend, your closest friend, the phone call that you once received, you ain't going to give anymore. Good? Keep that in your mind. So now, Paul was disputing with him because that's his job to do. He was sent. He said, you're going to suffer, Paul. So Paul heard him doing a whole lot of paganism. So Paul got disputing with him, and they called Paul a babbler. That's what this babbler got to say. Because he got some strange stuff. He come out some Yahweh, YHWH. What about Lord God and Kyrios? Okay, you got it. In verse 19, and we'll take it down to verse 24. Now, we get down to verse 24. Watch this. Pick up verse 19 here. Let's read down from 19 to 24.
The book of Leviticus.
No, we're going to stay in Acts 17. You read 1, 2, and 3. I mean, 7. You read 16 down to verse 18. Let's get a little bit more of that because Paul is jumping in like a rope. Paul is jumping everybody. And that's what's going to happen with you. You're going to be always jumping somebody because you're going to start, your spiritual eye is going to start opening up. And every time you hear someone open that book, you're going to know they're out of order everywhere. And you're going to say something. Oh, man. I'm going to lose this friend, too, but I'm going to say something. And that's how it's going to happen. You'll find yourself disputing all the time. But you know, it got a verse written. It really is the book of Jacob called James and Judah. So, but we're going to the book of Jude just for 1 minute, dear mother. The book of Jude, right next to Revelation. Do you know he got a verse written in 1:3? Hey, mother, what can we read in the book of Jude right next to Revelation 1:3? Jude, chapter 1:3. What's
okay.
Written in the book?
The book of Jude, chapter 1:3. The book of Jude, chapter 1:3. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the coming salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for this covenant which was once delivered unto thee. Unto the saints.
He said, you got to honestly contend. You got to take that garbage down. He said, you got to honestly contend. You know what contend means? That means you got to get down for it. You got to get down, contend, like two basketball players going at it one-on-one. They contending against each other. When it comes down to the truth of this Bible, you got to contend for this right here. You got to throw it down. But remember, you must lead out in scripture. Don't lead out running the mouth. Lead out with a verse. Can you take a look at this, my brother? Let's see what that says. Then comment after the scripture. Never run the jibber jab without a scripture on the table that you're pointing at. Remember that. That's the key. They might say one thing, but then you got to have a verse to say, well, you got the Bible? Yeah, I got a Bible. Can you turn and see what it's saying in back to the elder in 4:3? Now, let's see what the Bible said in verse 4:3 down to verse 4:7. See, is that what you do? Let's see what the Bible says. But you got to have you can't be swore at nobody. You got to be. Just like mother is doing. You can't be like old Rapid Boy's elder. See, you can't be like that. You got to be like a little bit like the mother. See, because every time he read, he's like he's contending with you. So, we're going to Leviticus 23, and we're going to look at something in verse number 11, verse 43. What did it say there? 11:43.
Book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse number 43 reads, "You shall not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourself unclean with them, and you shall be defiled thereby." Verse 44, "For I am Yahweh your Yahweh. You shall therefore sanctify yourself, and you shall be righteous. For I am righteous, neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 45, "For I am Yahweh that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt. Be your Yahweh. You shall therefore be righteous, for I am righteous." Verse 46, "This is the law of the beast and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every living creature that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 47, "To make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten."
You got to make a difference for what you put in your mouth. Every beast is good for something. The pig is good for eating all of the everything. Matter of fact, a pig good for eating a rattlesnake. You know a pig will drop a rattlesnake as quick as a rattlesnake getting in the pen with it. A pig will look at a rattlesnake and say, "Hey, you come to tickle my back?" Yeah. And a snake will jump put his mouth down on the inner part of that pig and to shoot his venom in there. And once he shoot his venom inside the pig, all of a sudden he let the pig go and his head starts spinning. His head will start spinning. You know why his head spinning? Because that pig is more deadly than the venom in a rattlesnake. Then when that snake starts waving his head all type of ways, old pig said, "Well, I know you can't, you dizzy." And now the pig goes at the end of him and eat him all the way up to the top of his head. You see that? If you ever want to get rid of snakes, just get a pig. The pig is the most deadly thing than a rattlesnake, a pig. And you be wondering why you have to go visit Doc Cook. "Oh, what's wrong? My blood pressure's up." Don't you notice, like, on the 4th of July, all them holidays, you run around. Hey, you notice, like, the ambulance, they get circling around there. Because you know you pull that hog. You know you'll be falling out calling anyway. So they said, "We might as well just hang around the park." Because you know you're going to be calling. You'll fall all out in that hot temperature eating that hog. Sweating and eating that hog. Eating them chitlins. Pigtails. Pig ears. Eating the prints that he owns. And then you wonder why you all got a visit Doc Cook. Why you got a blood pressure problem. Because what you put in your mouth. He told you what to eat, and he told you about a full course meal, too. Hey, mother, he mentioned about what to eat in 129 and verse 30, Genesis, and then we're going to precept that to 11 verse 5 for the book of Numbers. So you won't know how to make a full course meal? You won't know? You won't know? Okay, let's show y'all. Let's see what he says when no man was around in 129 and 30. We're going to get back to that 12th chapter. That's why we said we come on this network. We teach spirit-led. We don't know what we're going to teach, but it's still going to be a mystery to you. Okay, 48. 129 and 30, what did it say that mother? Genesis 1, 29 and 30 backed up with Numbers 11, 5, what did it say? Where you at, Kim Morgan?
Okay, Genesis 1:29. Yeah, what is 1:29? Genesis chapter 1:29, verse 29 and 30. "And Yahweh said, Behold, I have given you every herb that seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, and which is the fruit of the tree, yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." Verse 30, "And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for me, and it was so. Numbers
so he put a color on. He put a color on the food you're supposed to be eating. You're supposed to be eating a big belly full of green food. So when you sit down and eat, you're supposed to have green food. Your food will be green color. That's the game changer. Green. Now if you want to make the better half, I want to do something special for him. I want to make him a nice meal. Okay. Let's go see what a nice special meal would do to keep him standing straight up and right. You know, 11 verse 5 of Numbers. Let's see what a full course meal is according to the Bible. What does it say, Mother? 11 verse 5 of Numbers for a full course meal. Say.
The book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melon, and the leek, and the onion, and the garlic.
Ain't that something? Now there go a full course meal. That green food with fish. Now you have made a full course meal, huh? That is a full course meal that when you get to a certain age, you still be some count. About full of all that starch food and wonder why you ain't like you used to be. You know, I know something about you. You ain't like you used to be. Well, shoot, you've been feeding me all that starch food. Why you see them all stopped up and sleepy. Well, that's what you've been feeding me, all that starch food. Huh? That's why you always you clogged up. You make a quick move, and then you have all type of problem with your body because you gotta get away from that starch eating food. You just read a full course meal. Now, Mother, in 104 verse 14, let's wrap this up. And Psalms 104 verse 14. This is what he says when he summed it all up. And 104 verse 14 of Psalms. Watch him sum it all up.
Okay. Book of Psalms.
Psalms. 104 verse 14. Yeah, sum it all up, Mother.
The book of Psalms, chapter 104, verse 14. Verse 14. He caused the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth.
Wait a minute, Mother. What is the service for man? What is the service for man? The one that made your body tell you, this is the service for man. It's what? Green herbs. Green
herbs. And herbs for this.
It's green herbs. All that green food, put the green food on the table. Put some fish with it. Then you ain't got to worry about, you got to push him off the couch or whatever. He don't fell asleep on you. Put some live food in him. Stop putting all that starch, dead food in him and in yourself. So what we're going to do, we're going to pause and bring our elder in because he done finally got out that them great big meetings. We're going to bring our elder in and tell you all about this broadcast. So we see we bring him in now. So when you meet our elder, Mr. Tibbs, and he will tell you all about the broadcast and what the Almighty done put on him to tell you about take number 48. So elder, Mr. Tibbs, Yahuwah BJC Radio.
And Yahuwah bless you, see as well as see well. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. You know, we have done our part, but like I said again, we're going to run back and let you address this national audience. So take your time. You're on the clock. Come on.
Oh, once again, Yahuwah bless you, see as well. And thank you for inviting me into tonight's broadcast. I'll make my introduction probably a little short, but actually, you're right. I was in a meeting. with the Latter-day Saints. Unbelievable. I see why you go through so much trouble. They had three people on the phone with me this time. Mr. Collins, Mr. Elliott, and what was his name? Bishop. He had a big, long title there with a lot of words behind it. Elder Mashler, Chaplain of the Latter-day Saints. I had them to explain a little bit to me about their ventures. What is the Mormon? Where did it come from? Actually, their discussion was phenomenal. I think instead of taking up a lot of this evening's time, we'll probably speak on that tomorrow instead of shortening up our broadcast, because these guys really speak a good game. And if you're not word up in the word of Yahuwah, you'll be willing to believe almost anything, especially if it sounds good. And this is where most of us are. If it sounds good and it looks good, that's for me. For everything that looks good is not a bed of roses, and everything that smells like roses is not flowers. But you can bet the word of Yahuwah is solid and is found. And this is what is taught in this ministry. This is why we're here, to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, loud bump the gums, and all this smooth talking that you will receive to pull you away from the word of Yahuwah. We're here to help guide you through these times. This is why we welcome and thank you, all of you, for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's ministry. We come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost, about Yahuwah's word. Learning how to connect the books, your health, foods you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. This is information that you came to seek, and you have now found that in the voices of the true Israelites. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., and the days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, Sabbath class we do have. Top part of Sabbath is Friday from 7:30 to 10:30, and the bottom part is Saturday. We have a temple class at 12 p.m. and an online class from 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address. To use this on any search line, enter tribeyada.com. After you click under, just under a big line, you will see some choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow those instructions, or any other device you possibly may see video. But again, after clicking this, you'll see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindred to the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures we read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and read once again in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, alive. Also, for building a school, which I can see at this point is becoming more and more seriously needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. We even have a calendar. Check our calendar out there. It will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. That's something I had to explain earlier this evening. We even have a live program, which is available during our live broadcast sign by entering three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yahuwah, and click the red live button as soon as it appears, and it'll put you right into the live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyahuwah@gmail.com. The other is yahuwahisrael@gmail.com. For writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with the Aqua in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 600 accounts of Yahuwah's ministry. But also, in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. As I said many times before, you will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, you can inquire about our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD by calling the same number. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. Now, on another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos that most of us have seen before. And now, even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. I can really feel for them because I know they keep them busy. So please use that international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. You will only hear that discouraging click followed by the dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of our program today, catch the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words to do this, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. Just choose the program that you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Also, for your information, during our normal Broad Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our information on Pal Talk. Just download the Pal Talk app on any of your smart devices. We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for the Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. You'll find our room will hold 50 or more participants, or Yahuwah's Word will be working for your education. Online there to answer those on the table topics we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with the Seer Israel, writing as shotgun. And during this time, we'll take no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, not to worry. We will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But as a parting note, when we are given the scriptures to speak by the seer, always be quick to hear and slow to speak so that the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listening members that came to hear the right words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. So we will turn our program back to our seer Israel and say, hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That was excellent on your part. And now we will go back to that Corinthians book again. So now you're clear that the Corinthians that Paul is sent to is a scattered northern kingdom called the 10 tribes. And Judah, too, because everybody's been scattered. You know, they've been scattered to every direction now. Now, Paul got a mission to go find them because they're all now up on the banner of being a Gentile. The true definition of Gentile means nations. That's what it really means. But since they won't place the word Gentile, the Gentile is those that have broke away from the covenant of the Mighty One. So Paul's looking for them. So Paul says this to them again, and back to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, then we'll skip down to verse 18 and 19. Listen good what Paul said. When he found the children of Israel, northern kingdom that was scattered, he looked them eyeball to eyeball in 1 Corinthians, Elder Yada, 12th chapter, verse 1, 2, 18 and 19. Listen to what he says that we can read. What did he say?
Book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. Verse number 18 and verse number 19 reads, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse number 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Verse number 18. And I have Yahweh set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it had pleased him. Verse number 19. If they were all one member, where were the body?
Mm-hmm. Now back up to 12 and 13 before we swing down to 25 through 28. This is what he says in verse 12 and 13. This is to the northern kingdom. So Paul is sent to them. But look what he tells them in verse 12, 13, 25 down to verse 28. What he said we can read, Hilda, verse 12, 13, 25 to 28. What he say?
Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12 reads, for the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Yahweh the Son. Verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit.
Verse 20. To one spirit. Hold up. Do the research and you raise your level of teaching and understanding coming up to be. We see the word Jew is a watered-down word for Judah, Benjamin and Levi, because the word Jew have no father to it. They put that word Jew in there to remove you, to holler about a Jew, to bring in Jewish and Judaism. But no, that's a watered down word for Judah. You got it good. And this Gentile word is a watered down for a northern kingdom or anybody that are broke away from the Almighty, four-letter man, YHWH. But Paul is sent to a specific people that scattered Israelites in the brain. He knew where it was at, so he was with them. Now, we skip down to verse 25, and look what he told the northern kingdom and the mother Israelites that were from Judah, Benjamin, Levi, was over there. Look what he told them in verse 25 down to verse 28. What did he say, Elder?
1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. There should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 26, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, and you are the body of Yahweh the Son and members in particular. Verse 28, Yahweh has said some in the congregation, church, first apostles, secondarily seers, thirdly teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, health, government, diversity of tongues.
Mm-hmm. So he set it up the way he wanted to set up, so you don't have to keep on scheming how to knock those seeds off or knock the ills off. There's always room in the body for you too. So don't always plot up to, well, I'm going to knock that old seed off. See, because he, you know, it ain't going to win because he made it plain. Hey, Mother E, how plain did he make it in 54:17 of Isaiah? See, some things that come to your mind. But do you know that he told the seer in 700 B.C. in 54:17 something that we need to put in writing? What did he say? Isaiah 54:17. What did he say there, Mother E?
Book of Isaiah, chapter 54, verse 17. Okay. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thus shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of Yahweh, and their righteousness is of me, says the Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did he say? He said, I don't care how much they scheme. I don't care how much they try to cut you short or delay you. When you got him right, he got you right. No weapons is formed. No plots going to work. It's all going to be revealed and uncovered. This is the inheritance of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. See? So you don't worry about, they're going to be scheming, no doubt about it. But he said right there and there, make sure you got me right, and I got you right. So remember, so Paul was talking to Northern Kingdom and the rest of Israelites that were scattered in the brain. Now, he left that area and went and talked to the Ephesians in Ephesus. Now, look what he says to them. But see, when you precept your Bible, you're going to get the understanding. Now, hey, Elder, he went to talk some book to the Ephesians. And look what he says, but he's going to leave a keyword there for precepting. If you know how to find that keyword for precepting, which we're going to show you, then you'll know exactly who he's talking to only through the precepts. Ephesians 2, 10 down to verse 13, the elder, what it say?
Book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse number 10 through 13.
Yeah, take it down to verse 14.
The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10 through 14 reads, Book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Yahweh the Son unto good works, which Yahweh the Father had before ordained, and we shall walk in them. Verse number 11. But for remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by him. Verse number 12. That at that time you were without Yahweh the Son, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope without Yahweh the Son in the world. Verse number 13. But now in Yahweh the Son, you who sometime were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Yahweh the Son. Verse number 14. For he is our peace, that made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us.
He made both one. So you see, the key word in the precepting, he made both one. Now, you have to precept your Bible. Who is he talking about he made both one? Let's run to find out what you're talking about by precepting your Bible. Back up, Elder, to Ezekiel. We're going to Ezekiel and find out exactly who is these both he's talking about. He made both one. So when you precept your Bible, you'll start getting it. But it only happens if you precept your Bible. Now, he made both one. Let's see what he's talking about. And as a matter of fact, let's make a little meal out of it by going to 37, 1 down in verse 4. Now, the seer is out there with the Almighty. And the seer have to pay attention because the Almighty going to show him something. And let's see how he responds to it in the 37 chapter 1 down to verse 4. What do you say?
The book of Ezekiel chapter 37. Verse number 1 through 4 reads, Ezekiel 37, verse number 1. The hand of Yahweh was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of Yahweh, set me down in the midst of a valley, which was full of bones. Verse number 2. Caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. Lo, they were very dry. Verse number 3. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Yahweh, you know it. Verse number 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahuwah.
He said, prophesy to these bones. But the only way you can prophesy to these bones, they got to hear the word of the four-letter man, YHWH. He said, prophesy to them bones. What?
Get up.
The word of Yahuwah. Prophesy my word to them. And skip down to verse 11. And let's see what he said in verse number 11 down to verse 13. Listen good. 11 down to verse 13. What did he say?
Ezekiel 37, verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole family, house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith Yahuwah, Behold, O my people, I will open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13. You shall know that I am Yahuwah when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave. Verse 14. And shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, Yahuwah, have spoken it, formed it, saith Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm. He said he got to put his spirit in you. So what spirit he got to put in you? See, listen. What spirit he got to put in you? It says in verse 4 again. See, listen. That's why, remember, we've been taught English now, but we read it, but we don't have the comprehensions of it. We weren't taught how to reason with the scriptures. We was only to just parakeet it out. But now it's time to reason. Now you understand, you're going to put his spirit in you. Not nothing going to give you a kick, jerk, and a break out running. His spirit he's going to put in you is in verse 4. What did he say in verse 4 again? His spirit he's going to put in you ill. What did he say again in verse 4?
Ezekiel 37, verse 4. Yet he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of Yahuwah.
So the spirit he put on you is his word. And you get it 6 nights a week. Remember, tomorrow broadcast come on at 7:30. All Friday broadcasts in all 6 locations come on at 7:30 on the radio. 7:30. His spirit, he gonna put some word in you. But you won't be keep on doing the same thing, recycling things over that gonna get you cut off in time to come. So the spirit he's gonna put on you is that word. Now, since the spirit is that word, but remember he said, I'm gonna make both one. I ain't forgot about the both one, but you gotta get suspicious on who he's talking about. Make what one. Now skip down to verse 22 and see who he gonna make both one. Verse 22.
Book of Ezekiel 37, verse 22. Now I'll make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king shall be king to them all. There shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all.
You see, so the boat is talking about southern and northern kingdoms. See, that boat is not talking about other nations the way we've been taught. No, the boat is talking about southern kingdom and northern kingdom because they're split nations. I'm going to bring them both back to one. Now, we're going to Jeremiah, Elder, and we'll get a precept on that in Jeremiah. We're going to get a precept. Both what? Both nations? Of what? Your precept, your Bible, this not going to be taught in no institution. They're going to read a verse, close the book, and then talk about, let's read the Mormons. No, we're going to read some of this. So we're going to find out. And we go on to the 30th chapter of the book of Jeremiah and read about the boats. Now we're going to find out about the boats. Because he's going to call Jeremiah to the side and say something to Jeremiah. Let's see what he says in Jeremiah 33, verse 2. And then we'll skip down to verse number 23 down to verse 26. Let's see what he's saying in Jeremiah 33, verse 2. What he said to him?
The book of Jeremiah 33, verse number 2 reads, "The same Yahweh, the maker thereof, Yahweh that formed it, to establish it, Yahweh is his name." Verse number 23.
So he clearly wants Jeremiah to know, to tell you about a name. So this is what he says. Now, who are you going to believe? What he say, or you'll believe what people that's long gone have said? Here's what he says in verse 23. What he say?
Book of Jeremiah 33, verse 23. Over the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah saying, verse 24, "Consider thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which Yahweh have chosen, he have even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that there should be no more a nation before them." Verse 25, "Thus saith Yahweh, if my covenant be not with day and night, if I have not appointed the ordinance of heaven and earth." Verse 26, "Then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be ruler over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them."
Verse 24 again. What did it say in 24?
Verse number 24. Consider you not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which Yahweh have chosen, you have even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that there should be no more a nation before them.
So you see that? So you see what he sees when talking about the both. He was talking about both families, Southern Kingdom, Northern Kingdom. When you precept your Bible, you come up with what you read in Ephesians. Make both one. They'll tell you both one means the Gentile and the Jew. No. That's bad teaching. No Gentile and Jew. You're talking about Judah and Israel. That's the boat. Bring them back together as one. Because when you read 1 Kings, we're not reading this lesson, chapter 11 and chapter 12, it was a split. They started worshiping the devil. They worship the devil now because 95% of the northern kingdom of Israel, they all Roman Catholic Catholicism. So they think Peter is up under the ground with in a basilica, and they buried up under there with Peter and Paul. No, a lesson letting you know. They got, you go take your piece of telephone, you can read that Paul, according to your phone, he was martyred, meaning he was killed in 64 A.D., according to their. But then we were reading the Bible and showing you in 66 A.D., he was writing to the elders of Israel concerning Paul in 66. See that? But you got to know how to deal with that to see that. So when you read 2 Peter chapter 3, 15 through 18, and you look at the timeline of that, it'll tell you this happened in 66 A.D. So how can he been martyred in 64? In 2 years, he's writing a letter to the elders concerning the children of Israel. See? It ain't going to add up when you know how to do some Bible. So, and then another thing, we read another lesson showing you that Peter was something we might read in this lesson. We might read that in a minute. But let's go back and get this book out the way. Let's find out in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9. What it says, we can read in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 9 and 14. Remember, the key word is both. Then we're going back to Ephesians with that understanding. Listen to what we read in Isaiah chapter 9. Chapter 8, verse 9 and 14. What is that?
The book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse number 9, and verse number 14 reads, Associate yourself, O you people, you shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye far countries. Gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. Verse number 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the family of Israel. For a gene and for a snare to the inhabitants of Yagda Judah.
So there go your both again. So the both is talking about two pieces of family of Israel. There go your both. Now, before we go back to Ephesians, hey, mother, stop off into Jeremiah 30, verse 1, 2, 4, and we'll find out, we'll sum it all up. Exactly what you're talking about. But if you can't precept your Bible, you'll never get, remember, you got to lose all the buck arms contest. Don't try to win that. When they come up on Sinai, have a verse waiting on them. Let's go to Jeremiah 30, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hey, Harold, I'll be back in Ephesians 2, 14 waiting on you.
Book of Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 4. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1. The word that come to Jeremiah from the Yahweh saying, verse 2, thus speak the Yahweh of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. Verse 3, for lo, the day come, said the Yahweh, that I will bring again the captives of my people Israel and Judah, said the Yahweh, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Verse 4. And these are the words that the Yahweh speak concerning Israel and concerning Judah. Concerning Israel.
Words that concerning Israel, northern kingdom, Judah, southern kingdom. So when you read about this Gentile and his Jew and his both, these words is concerning Israel, northern kingdom, Judah, southern kingdom. So this whole Bible is about. Same thing about reading Deuteronomy, so we're not going there. When you read this Bible, it got nothing to do with the modern-day saints, the latter-day saints. No, because they twist that word around, which we're going to knock out the park right now, about these words they use, modern-day and latter-day saints. The only thing that the latter-days and the modern-day saints got right is the 10% tithe. And they go overboard with it. They are building up with it where you must sign a piece of paper to be baptized or being in that number to tell us what you make, and we will get 10% of your tithe on everything you get your hand on. That's the only thing they got right. But they take it to another level. They take it to a level so high that they done bought half of Utah. They done bought everything. They all up into everything. That's how, remember, they done built their organization up to now 16 million members. To be a member in the Latter-day Saints, be a tithe payer. Whatever you get your hand on, we want it. And that's how they're able to do all that stuff they got in Utah. 48% of things in Utah belongs to the Latter-day Saints. But we're going to see who are the saints concerning the Bible, surely. Now, so we found out that both, now let's go back now with that understanding back to the elder And now with that understanding, now let's read verse 14 down to 16. Let's see what it says in Ephesians 2:14 down to verse 16. What does it say, Ella?
Book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 14 through 16 reads. Book of Ephesians 2, verse number 14. For he is our peace. We have made both one and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, but to make in himself a twain one new man, so making peace. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh the Father in one body by the tree, having slain the enmity thereby.
Mm-hmm. So now we got to figure out how to make both become one now. See, now the only way both become one, it got to be some stipulations, and it is the word. You got to hear the word. And then understand the prophecy of hearing the word. Now, Elder gonna read the 31st chapter 1, 2, 5, and 5 to 7 of 31st chapter of Jeremiah. So this is how it's gonna happen. This is already prophesied how it's gonna happen. You just gotta know how to go peep at it and read it. In Jeremiah 31, 1 and 2, and 5 down to verse 7, to be able to tell us something how to both gonna be come back one again, then it'll swing right down into the 11th chapter, verse 11 and 12, because 12 is very important in Isaiah on something that's going on. So something got to stop. And we're gonna find out what got to stop when we get to Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. After we lay this foundation down right here, you're on the clock, Elder, come on.
Okay, Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse number 1 and 2, verse number 5 to 7 reads, Book of Jeremiah 31, verse 1. At the same time, saith Yahweh, Thou be Yahweh of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Verse number 2, Thus saith Yahweh, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, and I went to call them, him, to rest. Verse number 5, Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. Planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. Verse number 6. But there shall be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim, Israel, shall cry, Arise you, and let us go up to Yahdai Judah, and to Yahweh, our Yahweh. Verse number 7. For thus saith Yahweh, Sing with gladness for Israel, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish thee, praise you, and say, O Yahweh, save your people, the remnant of Israel.
You see that? He said, the northern kingdom, they're going to say, they're gonna stop getting their head bumped with this Guadalupe that the Roman Catholic Church had put in a little section for them. See, they built another little room for those of northern kingdom called some that the Spanish, you know, would call the Spanish. They put in there a brown complexion Guadalupe, and they put him there, but they can speak him from the way they, but they'll put that statue there for you, and you'll pack in there up on a Guadalupe, right? See? But that ain't nothing but that's a slickster. So you all up in the Catholic Church, because they seen Guadalupe, see, which they call, you know, Jesus Christ, Guadalupe. So, sooner or later, you're going to say, wait a minute, something here ain't right. And then you're going to look for the voices of the true Israelite, the six anointed camps. But we'll be waiting for you here, and we're going to show you who you really are and what you're really supposed to be doing. Because we read what you going to do one day, one more again in verse 6, Elder, what they going to do in one day to come in verse 6. Listen to this.
The book of Jeremiah 31, verse number 6 reads, For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount of Ephraim, Israel, northern kingdom, shall cry, arise you, and let us go up to Yahdai Judah, to Yahuwah, our Yahuwah.
You see that? They're going to start finally waking up, and they're going to be looking for you. That's why you got to be right. That's why we come on the broadcast, and we do a mother. Hey, Mother E, we do the Judges 5:11. We do Judges 5:11, and they ought to meet me over there in Ephesians chapter 2:1 down to verse 5. So what we do when we come this broadcast 6 nights a week, and tomorrow at 7:30, this is what we do according to Judges 5:11 when we come this broadcast. Hey, what we do there, Mother, in Judges 5:11? What do we do, Mother?
Look at Judges chapter 5, verse 11. They that are delivered from the north of Arthur, in the place of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous act of the Yahuwah, even the righteous act towards the inhabitants of his village in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Then shall
that's
the
good.
People.
That's good, Mother. We come on this broadcast to rehearse the righteous act. That we come to do. We come to rehearsal. You know, like for graduation, you got a rehearsal. For a play, you got a rehearsal. We come to rehearse the righteous act to you. There's going to come a day when northern kingdom will be looking for you. That's why it's so important to get in where you've been in at. Land, school, banquet hall, and a radio station. Land, school, banquet hall, and a radio station. It's all before us. We need to have a place for them to come all over the world and sit in our school and learn what they need to know to help themselves through you. So whatever you can do to get in and fit in, that do it. The Latter-day Saints, they'll take it tithes and to another level where they off into everything. Go on the computer and look at the requirements to get into the Latter-day Saints. It says there's no way in the world you're going to be in our sanctuary or get baptized. Shoot. You're going to get what? Baptized? Hey, show me what you're working with. You see? So, they have built up to $8 billion a year in tithing. What are they doing all that money? They say they pay $40 million to charities. $40 million. What's $40 million got to do with $8 billion? You see what they do? But see, they do it, but not according to the book. Now, let's talk about these saints real quick now. After we read some Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 5. See, remember, the Latter-day Saints, remember, they received the word from the Father and the Son. Remember, that's their teaching now. You read the book. They said the Father and the Son came to him and told him, don't join the church because all the churches is wicked. I want you to do your own thing the way I teach. And then you see up the 12 apostles. So that's why you got 12 apostles and the Latter-day Saints. But that's a plagiarizing from coming from your book. So they get out your book what they need to put in their book. See, you might take care of all that in a minute. I don't know. But right now we're going to give you some more rules and regulations in Ephesians 2, 1 down to verse 5. Listen to this. Hey, Elder, what does it say in Ephesians 2, 1 down to verse 5?
The book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1 through 5 reads, book of Ephesians 2, verse number 1, and you have quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, for in the time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse number 4, for Yahweh, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, have quickened us together with Yahweh the Son. By grace, you are saved.
Mm-hmm. So, it's in time past. That's how you was. But look what he got written in Acts 17 and pick up verse number 30. Listen real good what he got written in Acts 17, 30. Bring it out, El.
The book of Acts 17, verse 30. In the times of this ignorant, Yahweh winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent.
You see that? You see, in time past, he winked at this thing. But now it's time for you to repent. He said, now it's time for you to repent. Now to go to Ephesians. Now we're going to Ephesians chapter 3, 1 down to verse 5 in Ephesians now. He said, now, Yahweh winked at this thing because he knew that the six anointed camps of voices of the children alike was a great while to come. He winked at that ignorance. But now it's time for you to repent. Huh? Because he's going to make it plain to you, talking to the northern kingdoms of Israel, along with Judah, the one you call the Negro. He's talking to all of them, Benjamin and Levi. That scattered off into Ephesus. It's called the Ephesians, like you call African-American, Negro, and Supercoon, right? And color. So now, Ephesians chapter 3, 1 down to verse 5. What does it say, Elder?
The book of Ephesians 3, verse number 1 through 5 reads. Book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1. For this called I, Paul, prisoner of Yahweh the Son, for you Gentiles. Verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of Yahweh, which is given me to you, verse number 3. As that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse number 4. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Yahweh the Son. Verse 5. Which in other ages were not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his righteous apostles and seers by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. He said it's a mystery. This is a great big mystery, and that's the teaching of it. It was a mystery. What is the mystery? Let's go to the Colossians there, Elder. We're going to find out about this mystery. It's a mystery today, but we here to break the mystery. 1:26 down to verse 27. Colossians chapter 1, 26 and 27. Because it was a mystery. But what is the mystery? Let's see if we find out some more about this mystery by going to Colossians chapter 1, 26 and 27.
The book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27 reads. Book of Colossians 1, verse 26. Even the mystery, which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27. To whom Yahweh would make known what is the riches of the greatness of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Yahweh the Son in you, the hope of glory.
He said it was a mystery. He said it was a mystery about these Gentiles. See, you thought that you supposed to always lead them out. But no, it was a mystery. Now it's time for them to be turn light on them. That was a mystery. In other ages, they knew that you were supposed to be bothered with them because Yahweh had disannulled them. But he put a punishment upon them. But now the mystery is it's time to bring them back in. But the Gentiles, he's talking about the scattered northern kingdom. Those without YHWH. Because then he goes to Ephesians 4, Elder, and we're just going to read till we get our point. So Paul is still talking because all this is a mystery. Remember, when they broke away in 1 Kings chapter 11 and chapter 12, they had nothing but the left side of the book. There was no right side of the book. So when the son was on his way, it was prophesied, but they thought worshiping Satan the devil. So they broke with and everything. They start doing things that was done away with in last night lesson. You bring that tape back up, we took care of that, and we take care of it again. So now we're in Ephesians. Now remember, this is northern kingdom that's scattered. Let's see what he says. And Paul looked him eyeball to eyeball in the fourth chapter, verse 1. And we'll read a little bit, Elder. He told him something that we all going to hear together. Pick up verse 1. We'll read down until we get our point. Come on.
Book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 1 reads, I therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Verse number 4, there is one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Yahweh, one faith, one covenant, one baptism. Verse number 6, one Yahweh and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse number 7.
Read verse 5 again. Hey, read verse 5 again.
The book of Ephesians 4. Verse number 5, one Yahweh, one covenant, faith, one baptism.
One baptism, one way you're baptized, one. You tell them those that, listen, ain't but one way to get baptized. Get down to 7. He said, now, it's one Yahweh, one covenant, one belief, one way to baptize. One way. That's it. One way. So if you add anything to the one, you're out of the one. So how was you baptized? Remember one way to baptize. How was you baptized? You don't find out. But remember, if you add to one, ain't one no more, right? You'll find out how you baptized in the Bible. Surely. Think of verse number 11 down to 14. Listen to this.
Book of Ephesians 4, verse number 11 through 14 reads, Book of Ephesians 4, verse number 11. He gave some apostles, some seers, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahweh the Son. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the covenant, and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Yahweh the Son. Verse number 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Read verse 14 again. Listen good now. Listen to verse 14 again.
Ephesians 4, verse 14. And we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Is that? So you've got to be able to see through the craftiness of them. And this is what word they're going to use on you. Craftiness, but we're going to precept and say, oh, I know what that word means now. Verse 12. Verse 12.
Verse number 12. Ephesians 4, verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahweh the Son.
For the perfection of the saints. And what do the saints supposed to be doing? The edifying of the body and the ministry. So who supposed to take care of the saints? The saints supposed to take care of the edifying the body, which is one. That is the job for the saints. That was his job, the saint. Now, let's find out who is these saints he's talking about that's supposed to do edifying the body, supposed to teach the body. Let's run to Psalm chapter 55 through 7, elders. Let's see what he's talking about is these saints that's supposed to the one body and edifying the body by going to
55 through 7 reads, Psalm 50, verse number 5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse number 6. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for Yahweh is judge himself. Verse number 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am Yahweh, even your Yahweh.
Look at that. So who are the saints he talking about? O Israel. Now I get a precept on it by going to 148 verse 14. So when you read about this word called a saint, precept your Bible and find out who these saints is. Because somebody could be, by craftiness, use this word saint and put themselves in that position. But the saints of the Bible is written by the minister spirit to David to write in 148 verse 14. Who the saints that we can read? Come on.
The book of Psalm 148 verse 14 reads, he also exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the family of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise you, Yahweh.
He said you better praise Yahweh on it because the saints of the Bible is the children of Israel. So when you read the word saints, when you see the word like Latter-day modern day saints, then you ask them where that word come from. What is a saint? Are the saints is the latter day from Joseph Smith? No, not according to the Bible. The saints is the children of Israel. Now, Mother E, and we hear Mother Z say, listen, see, I'm ready to get my commentary now. You taking too long. I'm ready to go now. I'll miss about a couple of days on it. All right, Mother Z, we got you. We know you're ready to get on there, man, your commentary. Now, Mother E, what can we read, Mother E, in we're at 149. Let's go over to the next verse. We're at 149. Pick it up at 149, verse 1. Let's see, can we find out, is that what I want? Yeah, I think it's 149. Give us at 149, verse number 1. I'm not so happy now. I believe we're on the right track. Give me 149. Mother Z. Yeah. I heard Mother Z say, listen, tell that old C, I'm ready to get in there and holler in that microphone. I got a commentary for the nice broadcast. So at 149, verse number 1. Pick the verse 1 and see if I'm on the right track.
Psalm chapter 149, verse 1. Praise ye to Yahweh. Sing unto the Yahweh a new song. And his praise in the congregation of Israel, the saints.
Okay, verse 2.
Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Yahweh Judah be joyful in their king.
Now, who is these saints, Mo, that we can read? Now, who are these saints according to 149 verse 1, so, and according to verse 2, who is the saints that we can read in verse 2.
Israel, the 10 northern tribes, the northern tribe, and Judah, the southern king.
Well, see, well, in David's days, all of them was one piece. So when David is talking about the saints, he's talking about the whole 12 tribes in David's days. See, this is 1,000 feet. So they didn't break up until another 100-some years down the road. So when Saul, David, and the Solomon, they all knew about the whole 12 tribes. Now, after the death of Solomon, that when the split came in Jeroboam and Rehoboam's day. So in this case, David talking about let Israel rejoice. He's talking about the whole 12 tribes of Israel, because the whole 12 tribes of Israel at this time had a 49-28 mother. They had a 49-28 on them in Genesis. What can we read in 49-28? At this time, the whole, so many of Israel had something on them that we can read in 49-28. What does it say we can read in Genesis 49-28, mother?
Okay. The book of Genesis, chapter 49, verse 28. Genesis chapter 49, verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it, that their father speak unto them and bless them, every one according to his blessing. He blessed them.
He blessed them, so he blessed the whole 12 tribes of Israel. So that blessing is still out there for you, Israel. The whole 12 tribes, it's just only one tribe leads is Judah. The only way you'll get back right is through Judah. And we're going to read that, mother. We're going to read that in the 50th chapter of Jeremiah. Then we're going to bring mother's in. Because right now she said, I'm ready to give me a commentary on now. I got plenty to talk about. And her can give me that microphone. I'm getting nervous for that microphone. All right, Moses, coming up after we do some Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 50. And let's find out what got to happen, Mother Eve.
Okay.
And Jeremiah chapter 50. Let's see what got to happen that we can read and do what? Yeah. Jeremiah 50 and pick up at verse number 4. 50 verse 4, what it say?
Okay. Book of Jeremiah chapter, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 4. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 4 reads, in those days and in that time, said the Yahweh, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Yahweh, their Yahweh. Verse 5.
Mm-hmm. So now you see, when they get their mind right, when they head back home, that one that became known as the Jew become Israel. Gentile is Israel. He got his Israel. One that's called a Jew, African-American, Negro in color, he got his name back called Judah, together. And what will be on their mind in verse 5?
Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 5. They shall ask the way to Yahweh Judah with their face to the Lord, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Yahweh in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten.
See, when they get their mind right, they would not be talking about a rapture, up and away, about a rapture, about you going to be leaving here. When your mind right, you know everything going to be here on this earth. you're going back where you got kicked out of in 70 A.D. Because Peter made a profound statement that mother in 1 verse 6. See, everybody in the Bible knew that they was never to go up, up, and away. They know what the 21st chapter says in Revelation, the kingdom is coming down to you. That is Christianity and bad from Satan the devil thinking you're going to be raptured away from here. You're going up, up, and away. The ball game is here. It's red here. Now, Peter looked red, Yahweh the son, and asked him a profound question. And let's see what he says in 1 verse 6. Listen to this. And since we see you going up, up, and away, let's see Peter, if Peter say, can I go up, up, and away with you? 1 verse 6, Mother, bring it.
First Peter chapter 1 verse 6. Wait in, you greatly rejoice. So now for a season, if need.
What'd you read? Hold on, mother. You read 1 verse 6 of that's me. Verse 5 then. Read 1 verse 5. What verse we want? Yeah, I hear you, Mother Z. So let me make sure, man, Mother. I mean, I hear Mother Z saying, wait a minute, sir. He says, I got my eye on you, too, now. You must make sure you call them verses, all right? That's right. What it says in verse 6? 1-6 again. That's right. You told Mother Z, hey, Mother, you ain't reading verse 6. Read that verse 6 again. Come on.
First Peter, chapter 1, verse 6. Wherein you greatly.
Mother Z said, Acts 1-6. You hear Mother Z over there saying 1-6. 1-6. I don't care what the seer called. I know this in 1 verse 6 of Acts. And that's all right with me. You're right. Acts 1 verse 6. What do you say?
Okay. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Verse 6. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Yahweh, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?
You see that? He said, when they all came together, he asked, they knew Yahweh get ready to get on a cloud and go back up to his father's right hand. He said, are you going to restore the kingdom again to Israel? See, they know that rapture that's going to come up, that you leaving here, that the children of Israel knew better than that. They knew it, but now we think we're going to be up and away somewhere. No. The ball game is to restore the kingdom again to the 12 tribes of Israel. See, that's the greatest teaching mystery. Ain't no such thing as no rapture. That's rapture and up and away is from Satan the devil. The ball game is red here. Will you at this time restore again? That means you once had it. The kingdom to Israel. Peter ain't never even thought about going where Yahweh the son going up and away. You know, because he know he was created for this earth, and that's where he going to be at. He know he wasn't going up and away. Now, let's bring Mother Z in, because Mother Z said, let's see, I'm ready to holler on that microphone. And I ain't hollering the microphone in a couple nights. So Mother Z, one of the mothers out of Cap 1. Hey, Mother Z, Yahweh beat you that seed, right?
Yahweh, I bless and keep you, seer Israel, a royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, that Mother Z. Well, you know, I heard you was doing getting me straight. Now, you know, that's right, because it talks about in Acts 15, you believe the seer as is written. So if he's fumbling all around, both step up and straighten him out. So, Mother, now it's over 7,000 strong on the international side. What did the Almighty put on you to address them on when you and the clock come on?
I'm going to read in a verse in Isaiah 28. I'm going to read, let me start reading at verse 8, and I'm going to read 9. Isaiah 28, verse 8. For all, 28, verse 8, for all tales are false and violent and faithful, so that there is faithfulness, so that there is no place clean. Verse 9, who shall he teach knowledge, and who shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. And I'm going to Isaiah 6 and 10. I mean, sorry, that's Jeremiah chapter 6 and 10. Jeremiah chapter 6 in verse 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning? Them that may hear, behold, there is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Yahweh is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Verse 11. Therefore I am fury of the I am fed of the fury. I am full of the fury of the Yahweh. I am weary with holding in. I will hold it out upon the children, both abroad and upon the assembly of young men together, for even the husband with the wives shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days. Verse 12, and this I'm going to stop right here. And their houses shall be turned unto others with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitant of the land, said the Yahweh. Hallelujah.
One of our mothers, out of Cap One, Mother Z, remember one thing, she gives a commentary every broadcast on his book. All she got, because she see the bigger picture. Now what you gonna do, sit on the sideline looking in. Got it. All right, hey Adam. Mr. Tills, what is your closing remarks from tape number 48? You on the clock, come on. Tills, we come back. We can meet Tills on this. Where's your broadcast?
What?
of a mother Eve. Can you tell me what it tells us in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 9, in a closing statement? Hey, Mother Eve, what can we read? Now, we've been summing everything up. What can we read in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 down to verse 9, in a closing statement? Take it down there, Mother Eve. Galatians chapter 1, 6 down to verse 9.
Galatians chapter 1.
Galatians 1, 6 down to verse 9, the closing statement. What you working with there, Mother?
Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9.
Yes, ma'am.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. How marvelous that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the covenant of Yahweh the Father unto another covenant. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the covenant of Yahweh the Father.
You got some like the Latter-day Saints and the Roman Catholic Church and Judaism and Islam. They're going to convert to covenant. They're going to show you another way. So he warning you right now. You got some that can convert what you read out of the Bible and take you another way. Go ahead.
Verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, teaching any other covenant unto you than that which we have preached, taught unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man teaches any other covenant unto you than that he have received, let him be a curse.
So he's saying, Mother, if anybody bring you anything other than what you have heard in writing, he said, let them be a curse. So when they told you it's another piece on the table, automatic, they fits up on that protocol. They are a curse. It ain't but one teaching. This Bible is to Israel, for Israel, and it's about Israel, the Israelites. And all of the strangers that's not of Israel got a way to come in, but the first thing they got to do is recognize that this Bible information was given to one people to teach the other sons of Adam to come in up under us. That's the mystery. If they're going to teach anything other than that, let them be accursed. Folks saving their mother. We get back on again in class. Remember, on the broadcast tomorrow at 7:30. What's folks saving his mother? Action again on your part. Come on.
Thanking and praising Yahweh for this class. Thanking and praising Yahweh for being in the class. And I'm going to read Matthew 17. I'm going to start at verse 5 and read a few verses. While he yet speaks, a bright cloud overshadowed them. I'm going to start reading that. I'm going to read verse 1 first. And after 6 days, Yahweh took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up unto a high mountain apart, and was transformed therefore them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Verse 3, and behold, there appeared unto him Moses, Elijah, talking with him. Verse 4. Then answered Peter and said unto Yahweh, is it good for us to be here? If thou will, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he yet speaks, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples, the followers, heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. Verse 7. And Yahweh the Son came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Verse 8. When they heard and when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Yahweh the Son. Only. Hallelujah.
That's excellent. So listen, you hear you him, and how you hear him is through the praise of this book. Don't let no man bring you out of this book, because he made it plain. Hey, Elder, he made it plain in 34, verse 17, by the seer, he made it plain. Listen, do you believe what he said? Let's see what he says in 34, verse 17. Hey, Yada, the Elder. Let's see what he says in 34, verse 17. We'll make it verse 16. 34, 16, we're going to preach up a little bit of that. What he says in Isaiah 34, verse 16. What he say, Elder?
The book of Isaiah 34, verse number 16 reads, seek you out of the book of Yahweh and read, the one of these shall fail. I shall want her mate. My mouth it has commanded in the spirit and that gathered them.
He says, seek out of the book of Yahweh and read. All them other books, you put that to the side. Because when you seek out of them other books, guess what you have just lost according to Revelation 1 verse 3. What do you say? Revelation 1 verse 3.
Book of Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 3 reads, Book of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed is he, or she that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written, therein, for the time is at hand.
He said, you're blessed if you read it. Read what? This book. Let's go to the last chapter 22, verse 18, down to verse 21. Now you can't go no further than this. So in Revelation 22, 18 and 21, listen real carefully. So if they bring you any other book than this book, look what he got written in here in 22, 18 to 21. What can we read, Dale?
Look at Revelation chapter 22, verse number 18 to 20. 21 reads, Book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that hear the word of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Yahweh shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the righteous city, from the things which are written in this book. Verse 20. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Hallelujah, Yahweh, even so come. Yahweh the Son. Verse 21. Grace of Yahweh, Yahweh the Son, be with you all. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
So you can't take away from the words of this book. Now who is he talking to? Who he telling, don't you do it? See, let them do what they want to do. But in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy 1 and 2, let's see who he's talking to about don't take away from this book? Who is he talking to that we can read that have to fit the standard in Deuteronomy 4, 1 and 2? What it says, 4, 1 and 2?
Book of Deuteronomy 4, verse number 1, verse number 2 reads, Book of Deuteronomy 4, verse number 1. And for hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, unto the judgment, which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh your father giveth you. Verse number 2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the Torah instructions of Yahweh your Yahweh, which I command you.
It's a commandment for you to keep the first five books. Proverbs, the wisest man in the world, he pulled that verse in the 30th chapter, verse 5 and 6. He pulled that verse. Proverbs, chapter 30, 5 and 6. He pulled it. Listen good what he says.
Because Proverbs, chapter 30, verse number 5 and verse number 6 reads, Book of Proverbs 30, verse number 5. Every word of Yahweh is pure. Give a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Verse number 6. Add you not unto his words, if he reprove you, and you be found a liar.
He said, don't add not to his word, because everybody else done said they can bring in something and add. He said, no, you're going to be found a liar. And matter of fact, he made it plain and the 64th chapter of Psalm, verse 8 and 9, he made plain Elder, what he said in Psalm 64, verse 8 and 9.
The book of Psalm 64, verse number 8, verse number 9 reads, Psalm 64, verse number 8, So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. Verse number 9, And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of Yahweh. But they shall wildly consider of his doing.
Uh-huh. And they will make their own tongue fall away because of what reason? And 58 verse 3. What the reason why? Sooner or later, all that stuff you got in your head, you will say, Godly, I've been taught wrong. They will make their own tongue fall on their face, and you're going to bear witness to it by listening to the six anointed camps. Our bosses of a true Israelite. What you reading, the elder?
Book of Psalm 58, verse number 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies.
The other nation is lying to you. Revelation 14, verse 12. He's going to tell you something that you can read. End time prophecy, 14, verse 12. What he say?
Book of Revelation 14, verse number 12 reads, Here is the patience of the saints. Here is they that keep the Torah instructions, commandments of Yahweh, and the faith covenant of Yahweh the Son.
So the patience, you got to keep this covenant. 1 John 2, 4, and 5. It's up to you. You got to keep this covenant. First five books. That's the patience you got to have. Because remember, the modern-day saints, the latter-day saints, they're doing the tithing things on Sunday. That's the wrong day. So they out of order everywhere. That's what we happen on Saturday, Friday night, Saturday night. They're doing it on Sunday, wrong day. That ain't the blessed day. See, that's the other folks telling you something to get you cut off. First John, ain't the Catholic Church is too. 2, 4, and 5 says what?
Look at First John chapter 2, verse 4, verse number 5 reads, Look at 1 John 2, verse number 4. He that saith, I know him, and keeping not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in them. Verse 5. For whosoever keepeth his word in him, truly is the love of Yahweh perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him.
Mm-hmm. If you say you know him, and you ain't keeping his Torah instruction first five books, you are a liar. And the truth is not in you. All them digging terry places you're going to, they've been lying to you. Wrong day. Revelation 13, verse 7 and 10. What does it say? Revelation 13, verse 7 and 10.
Look at Revelation 13, verse 7, verse number 10 reads, Look at Revelation 13, verse number 7. It was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. Verse number 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints.
He said, the one that comes into captivity and they got a day come for them, it's up to you to understand who take you into captivity, who is responsible for your captivity. You know who they are. It's up to you to make adjustments. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19 to 22 in the closing statement, Elder. Do it all again like days of old. 1 Corinthians 16, 19, down to verse 22, and a closing statement, Elder. Excellent. Come on.
Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 19 to 22. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 19 reads, 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 19. The congregation of Asia salute you. Quill and Priscilla salute you. Much in Yaqua with the congregation that is in their house. Verse number 20. All the brethren greet you. Greet you one another with a righteous kiss. Verse 21. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. Verse 22. If any man love not Yaqua, Yaqua the son, let them be anathema, maranatha.
Otherwise, he says in 11 verse 3, what he said about women in long words, you say, let them be a what? Let's find the definition of that word you just said, 11 verse 3 of Jeremiah. I ain't going to try to repeat it, because they're going to call me all over the town. What that word mean in 11 verse 3 of Jeremiah?
Look at Jeremiah 11, verse number 3. And say thou unto them, the Savior Yahweh of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of this covenant.
Excellent. That long word means you are cursed if you don't keep what you heard out of tape 48. That's up to you. Al, the closing statement. Excellent again. You on the clock. Come on. Close it out.
Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua. To the four corners of the globe, hallelujah, qua.
Hallelujah, qua.
Hallelujah, qua. Remember, the mob will be back on at 7:30. So listen, if they not teach you the precept on precept, line on line, here looking there a little bit, that's a curse of Satan the devil. To always have a verse on the table and precept your Bible. The children of the book are the children of Israel. This covenant is about you, to you, and for you. When you're in covenant, it's not of Yahweh. It's of Satan the devil. It's up to you to wake up. The Latter-day Saints, the Roman Catholic Church, the WCC, all is one. Keep that in your mind. Never forget it.
Joseph Smith Jr. labored with his father and brothers to remove trees.